From Capital Public Radio, this is An Ounce of Prevention. I'm Pamela Wu. More than 250 years ago, Benjamin Franklin coined the phrase, "An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure." It means that if a problem could be prevented in the first place, it would save a great deal more time, effort, and expense than trying to repair the damage later. Today, we recognize that it's better to prevent disease than to treat it. Some prevention programs aim to keep people healthy so they'll be more resilient and need less medical care. Other prevention efforts strive to improve overall community health. By some estimates, every dollar spent on prevention today could yield savings of more than $5 in future healthcare costs. Take hospital emergency room care. Evidence shows that a small number of frequent visitors are responsible for a disproportionate share of the costs. Comprehensive healthcare reform may eventually solve this problem. But until then, a handful of California hospitals have created community outreach programs to reduce costs. Uninsured and underinsured patients are directed out of emergency rooms and into the medical and social services they really need. To find out how this works, Capital Public Radio's healthcare reporter Pauline Bartolone went to rural Tulare County and rode along with a community health worker.
Wendy Martinez deals with health crises all day long. Sometimes the same crisis over and over again.
How are you?
She and a coworker are at Cahuilla Delta Hospital today, meeting with a client who's just been readmitted. We'll call him Julio.
I was in so much pain. For 2 days I stayed there, and I called 911 for them to pick me up.
Julio is in his late 40s, but he looks like an old man. He's here today with an antibiotic-resistant blood infection. He says he's in pain. Wendy and her coworker have been helping him with another problem. His liver is failing, and he's waiting for a transplant.
Yeah, you're not losing hope, though, right?
No.
Okay, yeah. Just things take time. Don't give up on us.
Wendy is with a program called The Bridge at the hospital in Visalia. Their job is to connect frequent ER users with services and care that will keep them healthy and out of the hospital. Wendy's been trying to keep Julio on track for his liver transplant. But during Wendy's visit today, a nurse says Julio's use of painkillers might put him at risk of being rejected for a new liver. So Wendy gives Julio a reality check.
If you abuse your medication, you run out of your medication ahead of time, you go into the doctor and you want more medication ahead of time, what does that behavior sound like?
Okay, I understand you.
I'm on your side. I'm only telling you this because I want this transplant to happen for you. That's the way I am. I keep it real, right? Have I not kept it real with you the whole way through?
Wendy is not a doctor, a registered nurse, or even a caseworker. Her job title is outreach specialist. She works with Cahuilla Delta Hospital's most frequent ER users. Last year, there were about 1,600 patients who checked into the emergency room at least 5 times. That qualified them to get life coaching from Wendy and others at the Bridge.
I feel like I'm at my best when I'm helping others. You know, I just feel like I'm the vessel that God works through to help others. So that's why I keep doing it.
Wendy doesn't do it alone. She often teams with another Bridge worker. It's not easy to help these high-needs clients. Many of them are homeless, drug users, have a mental illness, or a chronic disease. These are the patients other hospital workers say they can't help anymore. So Wendy meets them where they are, outside hospital walls, in homeless shelters, on the street, or in their homes.
We're preventing them from getting stuck in that same cycle of ending up in the hospital with no education, no resources. In the process that we're advocating with them, we teach them to advocate for themselves.
Several times a day, Wendy sees clients surviving a surprising range of difficult conditions. On the same afternoon she saw Julio, she visits a woman in her late 40s who overdosed on methamphetamines and then had a stroke.
She'll probably be restrained because of her brain injury. At times it looks like she's connecting, you know, and then she'll fade out.
Her client, whom we'll call Doreen, is now severely disabled. Her speech is a mumble.
Hi. How are you doing?
She can't eat by herself, and she's incontinent. When Wendy talks to her, Dorian's dark brown eyes wander.
Tell me again. I can't understand you. I'm sorry. I'm trying.
Dorian lies on the bed, emaciated. Her wrists and ankles are tied so she can't wander off. She needs round-the-clock care. She's been in and out of the hospital repeatedly for months, this time wearing a soiled diaper when she was dropped off by a friend.
Was she feeding you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And changing you? She got you clean? Yeah? Okay. You know, that's my job. I want to make sure that you're okay. And we're going to try and find a place for you to go next. Okay? A place where you can live.
Wendy's trying to help Dorian qualify for Medi-Cal so she can move into a nursing home with full-time care. That will take a few months. For now, she stays in the hospital. Meantime, Wendy gets through days like this with patience and a little bit of humor.
Did you have a good lunch? Yeah, like it. I got that part. That's what they say about hospital food, huh?
Wendy spends a lot of time in her car, driving around Tulare County to see her many clients. She talks about how she deals with the amount of suffering and emotion she sees day after day.
Well, I don't turn to drugs and alcohol, so I have to have faith that things are going to work out as they're meant to be. As long as I know I give my best and put my, you know, my effort to the best of my ability, I'm able to go home and sleep at night.
You don't need a college degree to get this job. Wendy says the most important qualification is compassion, and not everyone has it.
You have to be patient. You have to be understanding. I think you have to believe that there is good in everyone. You know, you just have to find that good.
Good health and quality of life are not easy for her clients to grasp.
A lot of the people we work with have no hope, they have no faith, and they don't have anyone that believes in them. So when you can discover that little bit in a person, I think it gives them the hope.
In Tulare County, about a quarter of the population lives in poverty. Almost a third of adults are obese. Wendy helps people who are illiterate, who can't afford the $5 copay to see a doctor. But she doesn't spend a lot of energy on clients who don't comply with the care they're getting.
You know, and that's, we've used that line several times, is that, you know, I can't help you more than you want to help yourself. When you're ready to help yourself, then I'd be more than willing to help you, you know.
But Wendy has also been known to help people who can't or won't improve their health. She checks her phone messages while riding in her car. It's the mother of a 42-year-old diabetic man who stopped eating in a bout of depression. She's calling Wendy in desperation.
This man basically wants to die. He's killing himself. He's not compliant with his medications. He will not be compliant with doctor visits. He's a mess.
We'll call this client Eduardo. He has uncontrolled diabetes. He's refused care repeatedly. Wendy referred him to a diabetes outreach specialist at the hospital, and she's not sure what more she can do.
Well, we need to tell the hospital what it is.
When Wendy and an outreach worker visit him in his home the next day, they find Eduardo in bed, underneath a blanket, where he's been lying for days. His heart is racing and his speech is slurred.
When's the last time you ate? Do you remember the last time you ate?
No.
No? Okay.
Last week.
Last week? What did you eat last week?
I don't know.
The diabetes outreach worker helps Eduardo take his blood sugar. His sugar levels indicate a diabetic emergency. He's cold, cranky, and confused, but he does agree to be taken to the hospital. So Wendy, whose job it is to keep people out of the ER, does something unusual. She tells Eduardo's mother to call 911.
Go ahead and call the ambulance.
In the 5 minutes before they hear the approaching siren, Wendy and her coworker give Eduardo a pep talk.
I might as well get some sleep before they go to sleep.
No, you're not going to do that, remember? I'm going to go to the hospital. I'm going to start working on getting better. Okay, that's the plan, right?
No, I hate to get poked on all the time.
I know. But you know what? If you continue like this, then you'll get poked all the time. And that's what you don't want.
Yeah, asking me questions over and over.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd be doing the same thing over and over. I'm tired of it already.
Mm-hmm. I know you are.
I know why I'm going to get there. I just don't go.
Eduardo's mother is in tears. She paces in and out of the room.
I'm too old. I'm your mother. I need you. I need you to be okay to help me out. I can't do this by myself. I need you help for me and for you and your kids. You know, help me every night, rub your hand, your feet, see how you're suffering. If you love me, do this for us.
I'm going to sit right there and just wait because the ambulance is bringing the gurney.
When the ambulance workers arrive, they turn out to be the same ones he's refused before. They talk to him like they know him well, and he jokes around with them.
Are you taking your insulin, bud?
I had a party last night. I didn't take insulin.
You had a party last night, so you didn't take your insulin?
Yeah.
You know better than that, man.
No matter how bad you got it.
Hold on a second. Stay right there for a second.
Eduardo stumbles backward as he's being assisted to the ambulance. The bridge workers console Eduardo's mom as the ambulance pulls away.
I know that you're hurting, and you got to take care of you, too, okay? For him.
This is a difficult population that they're working with on a daily basis.
John Tyndall manages the bridge at Kaweah Delta. The program connects clients to services like public health insurance and Social Security income. The California Department of Healthcare Services says increasing enrollment to Medi-Cal could result in higher costs of care.
With our program, if you look at the reduction in costs over the years, we're actually saving taxpayers' money by providing these types of services.
Numerous studies show the cost-effectiveness of intense case management for frequent ER users. One study showed a 50% reduction in emergency room visits among bridge clients a year after they started. That's good for the hospital's bottom line, and it brings down the ER cost to Medi-Cal, too. But Tyndall says it's not just about the money. It's about quality of care.
We've worked with many individuals that we've connected them to various resources throughout the community, and it's really been a turning point in their life. We have a couple patients who, when we started working with them, they hadn't graduated high school. But we got them connected to drug rehab, got them connected to a primary care provider.
A few weeks later, Wendy gave a phone update about her clients. Eduardo stayed in the hospital for 3 days. Wendy says he's still bedridden at his house, but he's eating and getting dental care. Wendy got him a TV and a stuffed bear.
And then when I went to go see him at his house after he was discharged, he had the little bear right in front of him on his nightstand. And he told me, he says, you know, I don't know about this bear. He says, this bear just keeps looking at me and telling me I got to do what I'm supposed to do.
He's still giving his mom a hard time, but Wendy's not ready to give up on him.
My gut says, continue working with him. You know, he can come out of this.
Doreen is on her way to a nursing facility. Julio continues to wait for his liver transplant. They're both still in the hospital. Their stories may not have happy endings, but Wendy Martinez is helping them stay out of the emergency room for now.
That's Capital Public Radio healthcare reporter Pauline Bartolone in Visalia. You can read her behind-the-scenes account of this story in her reporter's notebook at capradio.org/ounce of prevention. This is An Ounce of Prevention from Capital Public Radio.